Paul, St. Patrick Liney on the ice. Relief, or what words would you describe?
Yeah, pleased. So that he skated for 2 days. You weren't here the first day I skated, but it was the first thing I said. So we're clear. I was up front with that. So he skates in the non-contact today. There's no extra skate after today. And then he comes back in tomorrow. And if he's right where he left off and felt good, then we would start to push the heart rate a little bit and kind of gradually work up from there.
So the next thing that isn't necessarily a contact practice. He's still got a few smaller steps, maybe?
He's got some testing that he'll have to go back through again before, and we'll just kind of wait to the doctors will come in and say, yeah, based on the testing and based on this, so if he feels good tomorrow, we'll get some light bumps in. Yeah. But the next phase, you'll know it, his sweater color will change.
Too soon to say which game that might be then.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's going to work like this. He's absolutely not getting back into a game until he's at 100% and clear. And then I'm more interested in getting him in the next game, because once a guy's ready to go and he feels good, you want it out of his mind. You want to soon get him back into the flow feeling good.
You had him out on the PK a little bit just to ease him in, or?
Well, he wanted a little PK time there, and he was really good at it. So that may be an option. Sometimes those guys, because they're on the power play so much, read it so very, very well. And eventually, I don't know if it's this year, there's going to come a time when he is on the penalty kill, especially in situations where you're chasing the game a little bit. And those guys make things happen.
How do you feel your team is handling his absence as far as making up the goals, missing goals?
Well, the finish part of some of the slot shots that we got even last game, yeah, you missed the shooter, you missed the shot. From an analytics and trending point of view, we were slow in terms of our slot shots when he first went down, and we've really picked that part of our game up offensively. So we had started at a low in the bottom third for shot attempts from that area, and now we're into the middle third and trending the right way.
Well, it seemed like a pretty typical process with Patrick, but do you take it differently, like with his recovery, because of how young he is, because of how important he is?
No, we would spend maybe more time making sure the explanations are really clear about what he's supposed to do. No video games, no TV, all that list to make sure, and maybe more so with a translation issue, the language, so that we're all very clear about what he can and can't do at every phase. He won't be out longer because of his age. They're all treated exactly the same way. But we would want to really make sure you get a guy that's had a couple, who's been through the protocol, who understands it. You don't necessarily have to hold his hand through it, but we make sure that the young players understand that this is not a character issue, that this isn't about being tough, this isn't about grinding through it, and we don't want him feeling any pressure. Well, I think I'm okay, and I can go a little harder. We need that honesty right away from the player, because we have our criteria that we have to go through, but the player still drives us. We're still at the end of the day, he's got to come in and tell us exactly how he feels, and we're at the mercy of that. So we need that honesty, and with young players, we make that very clear.
When you think about that, though, with the age, with the fact he's chasing a, you know, rookie year,
yeah,
kind of, like, how do you distinguish what's honest, and how do you have that honest conversation with him?
Well, then you do rely on your criteria, right? So you do monitor heart rates, and most of these guys come in and are pretty sophisticated now. They understand the long term. This has been out there. The concussion talk has been out there for all of them while they were coming through in the minors too, right? So this isn't something brand new for these guys. So they're pretty sophisticated about it. They understand that, you know, a concussion is a bump in the road. Multiple or untreated can change your game, can change your life.
Kind of a branch out of that, but injuries in general. I mean, when Patrick came back, or you guys came back to Winnipeg, you said he announced it was a concussion.
Right.
There's clearly no rule really to you having to announce what an injury
right.
is. And I have a broader conversation. How do you decide where to identify an injury
yeah.
and where not to? And what advantage is it to not having to really tell us or anybody what an injury is?
Because this is... So what I use is, if this guy's, it's 100% injury, I'll tell you, right? If and did it with Andre Pavlik's injury last year, I'll tell you what his problem is, because I know he's not coming back until he's 100%. Some of it is dealing with you guys can be a challenge at times. If I give you a window, and I get it, but if he comes back slightly before that window, because all the information we have says he's healthy, and then he gets banged up 2 days later, you're saying, well, you rush this guy back. Or I give you that window and he's not through it, the questions start to come, is he working hard enough? Did we get it right the first time? So we put this window on there to be honest, because we don't know where how big the window is. And then the vast majority, I won't tell you, because the vast majority of injuries get played with. So last week, we had 5-6 guys go down with the flu, right? So my point of view, it would have been self-serving when the questions about our work ethic are coming in, and I know I got guys puking on the bench. We didn't know before they were, but once they're on the roster and they start halfway through, but I can't tell that next opponent that I got 5 guys with the flu, there's another reason for them to come after us, right? Or anybody that's got a shoulder, knee, any of those injuries where the joint's stable, the doctors say there isn't any more or less risk necessarily than any other player. There's a little bit of pain tolerance. I can't tell you. Like, professional athletes play earlier and tolerate more pain than you would I would in civilian life. I separate my shoulder. I'm going to see the guy saying, look at this, see me in 6 weeks. We'll have 4 or 5 different grades, and this is 3 to 7, 7 to 10. It's 3 weeks. It's a grade 2.5, and you're going to be back in the lineup before you're feeling good. And they all get that. They all do it.
On that note, is it one of those things where you've been in this league for a long time? Has it changed? Is there more respect for players? If, say, you found out a guy had a knee injury and he came back 2 months later, is he less likely to be targeted now than maybe years ago when you first started? When it was a little bit.
I don't know the answer to that. I know as you get to the crunch time, there, you know, there are guys you can get on a little bit more, soften them up, as they say, make sure we get to that guy. Nothing ever illegal, of course. There's a lot of talk about, just in broader, that the players don't have as much respect for each other. I don't think that's true. I really don't. Just based on the language between benches, the death threats are gone, which were shift by shift. What they were going to do to you and your family, like, it was a very politically incorrect place to be for a lot of years. You remember the knee hits? You remember that had to come out of our game? Guys were submarining guys and blowing knees out, so they put in rules and they respected that. The hits from behind got to be a real problem. I don't think we see nearly as much as that. I think there's a lot more respect for that. And then the last thing I would tell you about the injury front is, like, for you and I, we go to the doctors. It's against the law for them to say anything about it. I still don't get how I'm any different. Where I can, if a player doesn't want me to tell you that he's got a bad knee, I don't understand why I can get away with it up here on the mic, because it's pro sports and a doctor or a nurse or the reception. It's against the law for them to do it. So the player does have the right to his individual privacy about an injury.
Unless you're in the NFL, of course.
Yeah, I guess.
Just last one for me. A lot of stuff was made about your comments about Nick following last game. I know you kind of were cautious about your words after when you said you didn't really kind of like his play at a certain point.
Right.
People ask the question, well, is there a way you do that? Is that to send a message? Because would you do the same thing to say, like, a guy like Dustin Byfuglien versus a guy like Nick Ehlers? Is each guy different when you decide to make kind of those comments? Because you don't have to.
I don't make them rarely at all. Do I make them? The vast majority of this I get away with, and we all watch the game differently. But I'll change a guy's matchup first. I'll change his partners first, and there is a, you know, Andrew Kopp had scored. He was playing well. I really liked his game. I would have done it earlier, but I didn't want to mess up what those three guys were doing. They had something good going, and Nick's minutes didn't really get cut, right? So I just changed lines on him, because Mark Scheifele has a job to do, and it's not just score goals. He has to play against certain people. So if his line mates aren't at their A game, it's not even so much how much you generate. It's, can I play you against? When Mark's on the ice, you're getting one of the top 4D, right? So if there's somebody on the wing that's struggling, it's not the best place for Nicky. So I didn't love Nicky's game last game. He scored, and he does good things. I got a really high opinion of this guy as a player. So when I do that, I'm not down on him. I'm not... But you're not coaching every game for just that game. So we need to get him back to a level that he was at very recently. And I just made adjustments in his game. So the meetings have all been very nice and gentle, and he gets it. So it goes to that, are you sending a message? No, because I don't send one. I have a direct conversation with him about it to build his game. I don't make that change and then not talk to the guy because I'm mad at him. I made the change. We watched video, got ready for tomorrow. It's back with Scheif and staff.
Paul, just a thought on St. Louis coming in after a tough loss to Washington and your expectations.
Well, they've kind of had a couple of these. The score wasn't St. Louis a little bit going through what we're going through. I don't think the score was indicative, certainly, of how they started that game or their play. And they've had this kind of in their game here in the last couple of weeks where they had a tough one and then they came back with a real good one. So we expect their best tomorrow night.
I know you're no goalie expert, but does seeing NHL shots for a few practices help Andre lift his game, you think?
Well, I take umbrage to your first comment. I think I've, over the years, spent a lot of time talking to my goalies. It does. I think we would have a great memory of it, but the shots in practice and the shots in games are just different, right, from the American League to here. And he got thrown right into a game, and it took him probably a period, just a little bit of that timing back, and for him then he would fall right back into it. So the shots are coming as fast as they're supposed to, when they're supposed to. He's looked solid on the ice for sure.